It is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the impact of COVID-19 grows here in Wisconsin, WPR is continuing to bring you coverage of the latest developments and offer analysis. You can find the latest news, all the related stories at our website, one place. Go to WPR.org/COVID. Right now, you have a line to the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, or WEDC. Missy Hughes is here. She runs the agency that's giving guidance to business owners on how to prepare their operations to be able to follow the necessary physical distancing requirements, to follow safety precautions, to operate during a phase-in period. We're going to see what that looks like. Are you a business owner? What is the status of your company? Have you gotten access to credit or approved for the Payment Protection Program? Round two of PPP opens today. Share your questions, the status of your business. We're at 800-642-1234. Secretary Hughes, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, help us out here as we look into the Safer at Home order extension and what this means for businesses. A lot of businesses are hanging on by a string right now, and May 26th is far away. What can you say?
Well, you know, we have a real challenge in Wisconsin of this moment between public health, the public health crisis presented by COVID-19, and restarting our economy. And so as we move into this next phase, we need to be balancing, making sure that we are doing everything that needs to be done to protect each other while getting our businesses back open. And everyone is really anxious, including the governor, to get our economy restarted and rolling again. But we have to do it carefully and thoughtfully, because the last thing we want is to be stepping backwards.
So as you pick through and decide which businesses can be allowed to reopen gradually, what is that process like? I mean, because allowing the state's golf courses to open and yet another industry not to open, take us through that framework of figuring out what can reopen.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say that a fair amount is open right now. You know, you can go to your grocery store and your gas station. So it's important to keep in mind that we have allowed essential businesses to maintain their business, to stay open throughout the course of this challenge. And what we need to do is make sure that those essential businesses are operating as safely as they can for their workers who are working on a factory floor or in those grocery stores, making sure that the employees are safe, but also that the customers are safe. So now as we go forward and we start to think about what else can we open up, we need to be thinking about, is it a business where we can maintain social distancing? Is it a business where we can make sure that the workers and the employees are able to be safe? And one of the biggest questions is, are consumers ready to go into those businesses? So many businesses, you know, are challenged with this idea of reopening, bringing their employees back, buying stock, buying inventory or buying perishable goods, and making sure that the customers are going to be there when they open.
Oh, right. Because if the customer isn't there and the business puts all this investment into getting ready to reopen and reopening and the customers don't come, that can be another huge problem.
Yeah. I mean, think if you're a restaurant and you have to go out and buy all this food in the anticipation of your customers coming in, you have to have your wait staff there ready for them. We really need this to be an all-in effort, and that's why we all need to be thinking about what we're doing as we're going out into our communities, as we go into this reopen phase. We need to be sure that we're taking care of each other, wearing masks, washing our hands, practicing social distancing, and holding each other accountable for that, because it needs to be the cool thing to do. It needs to be what we're all in on.
Let's bring in a call now. Eric is with us from Madison. Hi, Eric. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess number one is to open things up before mass testing goes on is just ridiculous. And secondly, are these businesses that are so eager to open, are they going to be liable if a number of people get sick at their establishment? Are they going to cover that with their business liability, the medical costs and other costs incurred?
Yeah, Eric, thank you for that call. Eric wanting to know more specifics about liability and what happens if someone gets sick from an establishment.
Yeah, and the first thing that Eric mentioned was testing, and he makes a really good point, which is Safer at Home bought us some time, right? We needed to all do our best to stay home and to allow the efforts of testing and isolation and contact tracing. Those are tools in fighting an epidemic. We needed to get those tools ready to work, and we're still in the process of doing that. That's one of the biggest reasons for extending Safer at Home, is to make sure that we have these really important tools up and running before we have the reopening, quote unquote, of the economy. And Eric also raises this question about liability, which is really, you know, a tough nut to crack, because we don't exactly know, you know, where you might have contracted coronavirus, where, you know, whether it was in the grocery store on your way home from work or in your workplace. That's why it's really important that we're all doing our very best to protect each other.
Eric, thanks. Let's bring in Daryl now in Couderay. Hi, Daryl.
Hi. My comment is three important words: testing, testing, tested. It's the only way to see where the virus, the invisible virus, is. And the sitting president said there are tests and we the people can get tested. When? Protest for testing. I would vote for that.
Daryl, thank you for the call. How much, as you consider, you know, in terms of what businesses can do and can't do, how do you factor in testing and how do you work with DHS, Department of Health Services?
Well, let me just follow up on what Daryl said to explain why testing is so important. So by testing, by mass testing, you can start to identify who is carrying the virus, and you can make sure that you isolate that person. And you literally, Secretary Palm uses the term, you bear hug them. So you bear hug them and you bear hug anybody who's been around them. That's the contact tracing piece of this. So that's why these tools are incredibly important, because once you start to identify folks who are either carriers, you know, they might be asymptomatic or they have symptoms, you can pull them out of the population and then you can start to get a handle on this. As far as businesses go, businesses are clamoring for testing and recognize the critical importance of it, because they want to be able to bring their workers back in, but they need to be able to do it in a safe place. There is no business that wants to have an outbreak, and they want to be as cautious as everyone else. And in fact, you know, the conversations that I'm having with businesses, they are being very, very proactive. And that's what we should expect from our businesses. They need to be thinking ahead and thinking about what are those extra steps we can take to make sure everybody is safe.
What about these businesses being able to access credit right now? I think the last figures I saw that 43,000 businesses in Wisconsin had beginning access to credit in the amount of $8.3 billion. Has that grown? Can you update that?
So that is the result of our first round of SBA loans that, you know, we've all heard about in the news. And Wisconsin was able to do well accessing those funds. I think it's because we have good relationships with our community banks and our credit unions. So now is this next phase, which has just been announced and signed by the president at the end of last week. As this next phase comes into action, we'll need to again be applying and again be working after it. You know, it's hard because what we're hearing is that that money is going to go fast. So for businesses out there that have been working with their banks, you know, now is the time in the next few days to be focusing on that. But the applying for the loans is complicated and it's hard. That's why it's important to be working with, whether it's your chamber or your bank, to be making sure that you're making the right choices for your business.
Yeah, I mean, some small businesses are saying even if they do get the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP money, they're not sure how to use it. It is really complicated.
It is complicated. I've been having some conversations with small businesses around the state, and you know, they're weighing their choices. There's cash flow issues when they start to repay the loan if it isn't forgiven. But right now, it's one of the best options. And my suggestion is go ahead and apply for it so that you get your application in, and then you can make the choices down the road about whether or not to take the money. But it takes about 3 weeks to process that application, and so it's important to get it in and then, you know, work through what are the best choices for you.
Let's take another call now. Kenneth is joining us from Janesville this morning. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. The only scenario I foresee is runaway inflation. By the end of this summer, where we're going to have $20 cups of coffee, and this is not talked about, inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods.
Kenneth, thank you for the call. Is worried about skyrocketing inflation and what that might look like here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I really appreciate Kenneth's call because, you know, as much as we're focused on fighting day to day this crisis and understanding, you know, what opens its doors tomorrow and what doesn't, Kenneth has his eye on the horizon. And that's really important because there's going to be lasting impacts to this challenge that the Wisconsin economy has faced, whether it's lowered orders for our manufacturers, or as Kenneth suggests, inflation due to the government spending and, you know, the bailouts that we're seeing. So it's really important that we also have a collective eye on that horizon. That's why getting through this sooner and doing our work sooner to protect each other will help us, you know, get those first steps of restarting our economy under our belt. And then we can really start to look towards the warning that Kenneth has and, you know, other challenges we're going to be facing into the future.
So as you talk with businesses, what is the number one thing that they're telling you? What type of pressure are they applying?
You know, the number one thing I'm hearing from businesses is we will do everything we can to make sure that our customers and our employees are safe. And we've put these protocols in place, so we need to get rolling. At the same time, we have universal agreement, no matter whether you're red or blue, that we need to have a phased-in approach, and we need to do it based on data and science. So that's really, you know, what businesses are echoing that, too. They don't want to go too soon, but they want to go. So, you know, it's that balance between the public health piece and the economy, and businesses are, you know, wrestling with it. Policymakers are wrestling with it, and we all feel the pressure.
We're speaking with Missy Hughes, the leader of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Do you own a business? Have you had to let some staff go? What do you worry about getting back on track? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back with Secretary Missy Hughes in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, WEDC, is providing grants to very small businesses that have suffered losses due to COVID-19. And then there was this telling survey by UW Oshkosh. More than a third of Wisconsin businesses responding to the survey say they'll have to shut down permanently if the state's economic shutdown wears on for more than 3 months. Is your business in this camp? How long can your company hang on? What do you want to know from WEDC? The number is 800-642-1234. We have WEDC Secretary Missy Hughes, who stays with us. So, Missy, that UW Oshkosh survey, so sobering. 35% of the businesses saying they'll go belly up if this stretches on into the summer, later in the summer. What is your reaction to this survey?
Yeah, well, it is reflective of what we're hearing both anecdotally and then when we're looking at big data, when we look at consumer transactions and merchant transactions across the state, we're able to see that same data coming through. And it's really, it's heartbreaking. At the same time, there is a recognition across Wisconsin of how important our small businesses are and how important that cafe on the corner is that you stop at every day and get your coffee and you don't even think about it. Now everybody is really thinking about it. And so I think there's really an opportunity to make sure as we go forward, we're supporting those small businesses. We're thankful for them. And, you know, at WEDC, we're looking for resources to be able to help them. We're in conversations with the governor and the legislature to try to access funds to be able to help those small businesses get their doors back open and get rolling again.
Do you know what portion of help relief aid is out there for small businesses that is in the form of grants versus what needs to be paid back?
Well, what we're seeing right now is when there is a grant program, it gets used up really quickly. At WEDC, in the very first weeks of the crisis, we stood up $5 million for businesses under 20 employees, and that went very quickly. And so, you know, the challenge is finding those dollars and then getting them out to the ones who need it the most.
Was that the Small Business 2020 program you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
And is that still going on? Is there still funding in that pot?
No, that's been utilized. We've been able to get that out to a few hundred businesses, which was really informative for us, but also really helpful for them. What we needed to understand is, you know, how do we find these small businesses? The terms that I'm learning, Kate, are unbanked or underbanked businesses that literally run on cash. How can we find those businesses and make sure they're getting the help that they need? Because that's really this invisible fabric of support that we have and businesses that we have throughout Wisconsin that are so important to us.
What do we do about those businesses that are sole proprietors, that don't have employees, and yet they do a robust business as a one-person company?
Yeah, so there's two pieces to that. First, I would say that there is, unusually, this isn't a normal kind of relief. There is now unemployment assistance for those sole proprietors. It's called the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, and you can find out about that on the Department of Workforce Development website. So I encourage sole proprietors who, you know, would think, oh, there's nothing there for me. There is, you know, something there for them that they can apply for. The second piece is, you know, we need to be figuring out how to get some funds into those sole proprietors' hands so that they can reopen their doors, they can get rolling again when the time comes.
Let's take a call. Rich is joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi. In a state such as Wisconsin, which is very dependent on sales tax revenues, Wisconsin is not alone in that regard. But when there's some online commerce going on that's not taxed, and when there is very little storefront activity going on that's not available to be taxed, we're going to have to figure out another way to raise revenue in the state.
How do we capture sales tax revenue when it is moving online, Secretary Hughes?
Well, I think Rich's point is not only is it moving online, but there's no storefronts. And so this is going to be a real challenge for the state budget. And we're beginning to just really understand the impact of that as we start to see March's numbers, and then we'll see April's numbers, and we'll see a real fall in the sales tax. And so we are going to have to decide how to manage that at a state level. And obviously, you know, there's conversations at the federal level about that also.
Secretary, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce outlined a proposal on how to reopen the economy. It is basically starting to reopen businesses a week from today. What do you think about this plan?
You know, I think, well, first of all, I want to say we had the opportunity to be briefed on WMC's plan before they unveiled it the other day. And it was really informative to hear. A lot of work went into that. That was primarily driven by WMC and a group of businesses really putting their good minds to thinking about how could we do this? We have, you know, ongoing discussions with them about this. One thing that's important to keep in mind is the plan to reopen relies on those tools we were talking about earlier, testing, contact tracing, and isolation. And so we still are building those tools. And when we have those tools ready, then we can see the opportunity for something like WMC's plan to help us think about how we roll out. Very important that it's based on metrics, which WMC's plan is, and based on this phased-in approach. So it's really thoughtfully done, and it puts a lot of responsibility on the businesses to make sure that they're doing what's right. And, you know, that's echoing what I'm hearing from the business community.
So plans like from the WMC is helping inform what the Evers administration may do going forward. These plans aren't being made in isolation.
Yeah, no, there's lots of conversations happening. There's lots of opinions about, you know, how to approach this. But again, I'm trying to find the places of agreement. And those places of agreement are we need to do it on a phased-in approach and use metrics. And so I think that's really important that we keep our eye on where we can agree, what makes sense for the state. You know, obviously there's conversations about regional versus urban, rural. You know, what are these different pieces that we can all put together? And in the at the same time, we're needing to build the tools so that we're ready when the time comes.
Marie from Baraboo called in, couldn't stay with us. Marie wants to know about how the closure and failure of local businesses on Main Street, how will that in turn affect the banks?
Well, you know, a lot of the community banks are looking at their businesses and just hearing heartbreaking stories about how the businesses are trying to stay afloat. And of course, the banks are on the front line for these conversations. The banks will be challenged. This is one of those secondary impacts or third impacts that we'll see where, you know, loans aren't coming, aren't getting paid, and the banks are having that impact. So that's, again, you know, going back to Kenneth's point, we need to also be keeping one eye on the horizon as far as what are the impacts of small business closes its doors, and then, you know, the banks credit line and the bank's process is affected, and that, you know, in turn affects our economy.
Is there any discussion as to whether there could be more of a curated opening of businesses in smaller communities versus the larger communities like in Milwaukee and Dane?
Yeah, there definitely is. There's ongoing communications about what can we do on the main streets for these sole proprietorships or, you know, one shop owner. And the governor is very focused on that. And those conversations continue. Last week, we were able to open up curbside service for those stores. You know, it's not perfect. And we understand that, you know, it's a real cut in the revenue. But that's why everybody needs to be thinking about what can I do to help get the economy rolling. I can wear masks, I can make sure I'm social distancing, and I can be looking at the innovative ways that store owners are reopening their doors, whether it's through curbside service or takeout with restaurants, and I can help them by participating in their innovative efforts. And, you know, yeah, I might not be able to go and walk around the store and try things on, but I can still think about, you know, I really value having a vibrant Main Street, and so I'm going to be innovative in my shopping or in my eating, too.
Secretary Hughes, what does your day look like today? Very quickly, the challenges on the table for you today.
You know, I am continuing to have conversations with businesses about getting ready. At WEDC, we are putting together a set of protocols, and we're working hand-in-hand with VHS to make sure that those guidelines are available for businesses so they can know what to do and how to do the right thing. Just continuing to talk with people and communicate to really understand the problems that they're facing, because once I understand the problems, then we can put really practical solutions together.
Secretary Hughes, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Missy Hughes is CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Just ahead, we talk with a technology culture writer getting tips and new apps. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.